Time now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome in today. Appreciate you being here, especially if you're finding us on News for Utah Plus. That is our free TV streaming app. If you have Amazon Fire, Roku, or Apple TV, download it now, and hopefully you are, or you're watching on YouTube. So tell your friends. We're here, won't you? Joining me today, your local Democrat and your level-headed Republican, Sarah Real and Aaron Ryder. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Thanks for having us. Oh, it's so good to have you here. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Sarah Real, your local Democrat, elected to the state school board, representing District 5, and I teach political science at Salt Lake Community College. And anything I say today does not have any association or the message coming from either of those organizations.
Sure. Erin?
I am an attorney. I am obviously the level-headed Republican in this conversation. I work for the Department of Commerce as the director of the new HOA Ombudsman Office. And like Sarah said, my opinions are also my own today.
There we go. We have two state employees who can't speak for their organizations, but you can definitely share your thoughts today. And you will, because we have a lot to talk about. Hi, Producer Peter.
Oh, hi, folks.
How are you?
I'm back is what I am.
Oh, I missed you the other day.
It's good to be here.
It's always good to have
you
here.
It's just the ramp up for elections. It's getting crazy.
Oh, my gosh, local elections.
But always happy to take some time over at the set here.
I know. It's good times. Okay, happy you're here. All right, let's dive right in. Salt Lake County this week voted to cut $3 million for their budget, but in doing so, they cut four daycares that the Parks and Rec Department in Salt Lake County provides. It was a 5-4 vote, five Republicans, four Democrats. Parents obviously upset. Now, Sarah, let me start with you. Some Republican members of the council argue that child care is not the role of government here. I mean, is this what we want our $3 million going towards, or was this the right budget cut in your mind?
If I were to prioritize a lot of the spending that we do at the county, I would prioritize this. A lot of people will argue that it isn't the role of county government to provide this service, but we have a desperate need for childcare. Childcare is incredibly expensive, and this is like, you know, a social safety net for people. I don't like the way they went about it. Now we have 2 months for those like 300 kids to find new daycares. I'm sure anyone out there that has kids, I hear about it all the time, how hard it is to find daycare, how expensive it is. Everyone's going to be on wait lists. I am especially frustrated considering the timing. We're watching SNAP benefits go away. People are going to be hungry starting November 1st. And on top of that, now they have to find new childcare. And so I think there could be some solutions. I wish they would have like considered it and taken steps to maybe bring in private companies or look for ways to still provide childcare or make up for these missing gaps that we're going to have once this is closed. Possibly looking at changing it so it's income-based. Mm-hmm. Let's have the lowest income Salt Lake County residents be able to take their kids there. I'm not sure, but getting rid of it altogether that abruptly, no good for me.
Erin, what did you think when you heard this news?
I have a lot of thoughts on this. And look, Salt Lake County for a long time has been changing. It's not the municipal behemoth that it used to be, but it has never taken the time to actually adjust the size of the government in accordance with the change in the role that it plays. And what that means is a continually ballooning budget that just grows and grows and grows with no checks on it whatsoever. And I think that's why a lot of people are mad about the tax increase right now and about the mayor's proposed budget, because it's like we have residents in Salt Lake County, particularly senior citizens, who literally cannot afford these tax bills. And they're looking at potentially having to leave their homes because their home values have gone up so much and their tax bills have gone up so much. These are hundreds of dollars that they are now going to have to spend on top of everything else for this new proposed tax increase. So the council is looking at this and doing exactly what the council is supposed to be doing. They're looking to say, where are resources not being fully utilized, where we can shift some of this cost to try and bring down this tax increase so we're not costing Salt Lake County taxpayers so much money. And they found a program that doesn't actually have that much utilization. It's underutilized and over, and there's too much money being spent on it. So, okay, like it's unfortunate that it's a daycare, but those services can be provided elsewhere. Could they have found another way to do it? Potentially. But this is what the county council should be doing. They should be looking at every corner of the county budget and finding areas where we're just not using our resources effectively. And if that can be provided in another way, it is the right job of the council to say, this is not something that the county government should be doing at this point in time.
Sarah, what do you make of the fact that a lot of parents here tell us here at ABC4 that this was sort of, they were sort of blindsided by this. They didn't get any heads up that there was even a potential for this to happen. And then all of a sudden it's like, good luck.
Yeah, I had a friend who had just switched because she had a job change. She needed to decrease the cost of her childcare. She just switched to Salt Lake County daycare. And she sent me the email that she got. And it was like, sorry, we're done. It's 2 months. You have 2 months and we're really sorry.
Why could we have not combined four into two or something like that? I mean,
it may not be practical at that point. If you live in Harriman and the closest one is in Murray, it just may not be practical at that point. Like, Salt Lake County is too geographically large to have like one daycare provided by the county. It just doesn't make any sense. But I mean, again, like, the county government has to make these decisions. They have to. Otherwise, our spending will go up forever and there will be no end to, in
but
sight
I,
to it.
I do think there's a larger conversation here is the role of government in childcare, right? Is the government, should they have any responsibility to provide for the health and welfare of their citizens in this way? Or is this just a pick it up by your bootstraps, figure out your own childcare?
Yeah, it sounds like Erin has ran possibly for Salt Lake County mayor before.
She's got feelings.
She knows a lot more than I do.
I have feelings on this.
She knows a lot more than I do. But I think, like, let's look at this in the bigger picture. I think of this as a bunch of wrong turns that our government has taken from the federal to the state to the municipal level that is now making a lot of Americans be in really unfortunate situations. I think of food, shelter, childcare, healthcare. These are like essential items that everyone needs. And the way that our government has failed us in those ways, the way that we have ignored those that might need the most support. And this to me is just one more wrong turn we're taking. I agree completely with Erin. I think that we need to make cuts. I think that we need to reevaluate our spending at every level for sure. But I do not like the idea right now in this economy with this environment that we're living in with food stamp or with SNAP benefits going away, with folks being hungry, not being able to afford housing, that we're also going to be taking away childcare. We know that if children are able to have affordable childcare, I mean, I'm all about universal pre-K. Like, I'm a big fan of that. If we're able to have universal pre-K, if we're able to have childcare that's affordable, we saw it in New Mexico, insane economic benefits. More moms are able to work. More families have more money to spend. It is a huge benefit for all of us. I am a childless lesbian and I support childcare being affordable and available. And I do believe it's something our government should take on. And there's things that they shouldn't be taking on. Do I love open spaces, green spaces, parks? Yes. But can we maybe at this point when we're in a desperate need for all these other services, reevaluate those and cut funding in that way and not cut these things that are a great need and hurt families terribly?
Erin, I can see you twitching in your seat over there.
Yeah,
go
boy,
ahead.
Like so much to say to that. First of all, there are not that many families who are using this service. I do think that actually matters, right? And this is a service that can be provided elsewhere. It is not necessarily the role of government.
Where should it be provided, though? Because businesses aren't doing it.
Yeah, no,
they've
no.
Got,
yeah.
The county's not doing it.
No, I was just about to answer
sorry,
that,
go
Lindsay.
Ahead.
That's
I'm
okay.
so sorry.
It's not necessarily government's role to always provide every service that's needed by every family. That's not the point. It would cost a fortune to do that, and there would be no point to a market environment if you did do that. What government should do is create environments where those things can exist. Sometimes that means the government provides those services, and there are times when there are benefits to doing so through economies of scale or whatever, you know, the case may be, or because we decide it's a public good, like, you know, infrastructure and transportation. No private entity is really going to take that on effectively. Probably right for the government to do that. I don't know that daycare falls into that. That's not to say that I'm anti-daycare. I am also childless, but I know a lot of families and friends, like we're in a world where you have a two-income household. You just do. And it's really difficult on families when they can't find affordable daycare. That is a legitimate problem that needs to be solved. But I don't know that that necessitates that the government is the one that has to provide it, right?
But when you see it's such a great need, and it supports families in so many ways. More women can work. There's more opportunities. It helps our, you know, job growth in the state. All these things that can come from that, it becomes something that I do think should be put in as a private good because the market has clearly priced out so many Americans. It's priced out so many in Salt Lake County. parents are paying upwards of $1,000 to $1,500 per kid per month for daycare.
Well, and again, like, we can talk about how to provide daycare. I think that's a totally legitimate conversation. But in this instance, there were not that many people using it. It was an oversubsidized program that was underutilized by people who may or may not have financially needed it. And so for the county council to go in and say, look, we've got to figure out ways to cut the budget. We need to find places where we can make some changes. You know, this is one that actually does seem reasonable based on those circumstances. That does not mean that we should not have the conversation about where daycare is provided, but the service was already there by a government entity and it wasn't really being used.
Yeah, and I agree with you on a lot of that. I just feel like on principle, it feels wrong and it feels like something we should be investing in and considering more affordable ways for families to have daycare, considering the impacts it has on our entire economy and all these families.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But, you know, I think we have to sort of divorce these and say the county council has to look for ways to deal with the budget that is proposed by the mayor's office. And you know what? If the Democrats in the county council and if the mayor care so much about daycare, there are other places where you can pull that money. Jenny Wilson is one of the highest paid municipal elected officials in the country. In the country. She makes more than the governor of our state. And so if we're going to talk about resources and money that are going somewhere, right, like, I mean, there are places where you could pull money to support something like this.
Any final words before we move on?
No, that's a good argument. We could go back and forth literally all day. Yeah. So I'll stop there.
Appreciate you both for your thoughts. Okay, let's move on. Utah's former Attorney General, Sean Reyes, is now facing a lawsuit from a bountiful landscaping company. They're called Rubicon Contracting. And they accuse the former AG of basically using false information to prosecute them. The Rubicon Landscaping alleges that Sean Reyes brought a human trafficking case that has since been dismissed, and it proved devastating to the business. What do you guys make of this? And I know we had so many issues when it came to the former AG's office. Now we have Derek Brown in there. Is he cleaning things up? How do we prevent this from happening again? What does this story mean to you guys?
I'll start by saying I think that Derek Brown is doing an incredibly better job than Reyes was doing.
It was a pretty low bar.
Yeah, it was a very low bar, but I've been very impressed. There are a lot of things I don't agree with, but overall I think that he's a person with integrity, and I don't align with a lot of the things that he does, but I think he's doing a lot better job. The thing that pointed out to me the most with this is, like, I cannot believe the lengths that Reyes would go to try and prove that they were doing something. Like the impact to this business, I fully understand. If you look at what the judge came out and said about the evidence being not really there, I mean, it's icky. You're the Attorney General of the state of Utah, and you are basically tricking to get this warrant to go do something that doesn't exist. And I think that was really unfair for the business. They're going to sue the state. It will be interesting to see if the state will settle or what dollar that comes out to. I think they're looking for $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
They lost a lot. They lost their entire contract with Walmart over this. That's a huge impact over something that was unfounded and just was basically so that Reyes could prove that, like, he's fighting this fight and he's helping. And listen, I am all about fighting to stop sex trafficking and all these other things, but it was so clearly a stunt. It makes me feel sick about what he did.
Yeah, the allegation is that he was trying to distract from his ties to Tim Ballard at the time, right?
Well, what's ironic about that is that everything about his ties to Tim Ballard related to anti-trafficking measures, right? That was the whole point of supposedly the whole point of Operation Underground Railroad was to go in and break up these trafficking, you know, rings. But, and so to have Sean Reyes go after a company for human trafficking to distract from the fact that his association with an anti-trafficking organization was potentially going to lead to some sort of, like, I don't know, corruption charge or something. Yeah, it's wild. It's just wild to me. I think Sean Reyes, if you're Sean Reyes, you probably should feel incredibly lucky that you have not had personal charges brought against you to this point.
100%.
And also not surprised that they're coming out now, because they're not just going after the state, they're going after him personally. And we have seen attorneys general in the past who have been brought up on charges personally for their actions while in office. He is not immune from this just because he was an elected official at the time. And there was no, you know, he stepped down, he had good advice to not run again and to remove himself from the situation before anything could happen. That does not mean, though, that he would have prevailed had things not gone to court. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out and where this leads. You know, it will probably end up in a settlement of some sort, but yeah, I mean, just the more, yeah.
Does the office now have the right protections in place, and what are those? Have we heard about those? I can't think of any off the top of my head other than you're saying, you know, Derrick Brown has integrity. We hope so. I mean, does the office need to have any structures in place?
Well, I mean, that's, we have elections for that reason,
yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the protection that we have. But I also think, like, Sean Reyes was a man that would go to such great lengths to show how, I mean, he wrote a movie script.
He was a showman.
Where, yeah, and it was just so icky. And the fact that he was our AG for so long in the state of Utah is so disappointing. But I think that overall, I hope that this is a really good moment for us to say, what do we consider, you know, as an elected official, what standards do we have for these people? Because we clearly let, as you said, the bar was really low. We let it drop so low when it come to our AG, and that shouldn't be that way.
I mean, there's always the debate about whether or not this should be an appointed position versus an elected position. If something were to happen and Derrick Brown were to go down the same path as his three predecessors, his three immediate predecessors, I don't know. We might get to a point where we say clearly there's something about this position where there's not a ton of public oversight. You know, you look at a role like the governor or the legislature or members of Congress, there's a lot of public oversight into what happens on a day-to-day basis, and that helps kind of create a natural check. That does not necessarily happen with the attorney general, where historically people have not really cared about that much about the attorney general until something goes wrong. And so the fact that we've had three in a row who have sort of gone down the path of potential corruption issues is not a great sign
it's
for that.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. Right? And it feels like we should elect someone from a different party. Just an idea.
I want to be clear that I'm not saying Derrick Brown is not trustworthy and could go down that path. I'm just saying, should the office itself have some sort of safeguard in place, because all of these, you know, scandals that these ended in started with an elected official who was just there to do the job, right? At some point along the way, something happened and there was some power that they wanted to maintain, right, throughout those processes. So, all right, let's move on to another issue within Salt Lake County, and that is a new power district, where we heard this week that Rocky Mountain Power started construction on their big new headquarters. There will likely be a baseball stadium that goes there eventually. If and when we secure a team, the Millers can start building, because they set up a deal with the state to collect some of the sales tax and the state's portion of the sales tax there. What, Aaron, let me start with you. Do you think this will do for this area just west of downtown Salt Lake?
Oh, I think it's terrific. I think in every way this is a terrific benefit to come to the state. That is underutilized land. Nothing productive is happening in that part of Salt Lake City right now. So to bring some sort of vibrancy and economy to that area, it's terrific. Like, it really is terrific. And the way that they structured this, I wanted to talk about this for a second. A lot of people were concerned when they talked about the special tax district for this area and the tax that would go along with this. The beauty of this area is that the tax stays within its area, right?
Like, it's called tax
there.
Increment financing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's not, and then the tax on the rental cars, you know, that's really for people who are coming in out of town. I think Utah residents can even opt out of that when they rent a car. So, like, the way this was set up is not actually really going to cost Utah taxpayers any money, but it creates a really great new section of economy to add to Salt Lake City. And that's a terrific structure.
Well, and they may not see their tax increase go up like the 5% like we saw in Salt Lake City, or the 0.5%, right? But we're freezing the tax increment at this certain level, which means the schools, the police, the people who collect those taxes, they won't see that increment anymore that will go into this.
Right.
So we may not be paying, but we are giving some public money to this project.
Right.
Sarah, what do you make of it?
Two things. One, I'm not a super big fan. First of all, we won't know until 2029 if we get a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Surprise if we do. I personally think that Major League Baseball is, I love baseball, but it is boring. And I
not
don't
in
think
person.
That,
oh,
it's
no
boring
way.
On TV.
In person,
sorry,
it is not boring, but it is not like we didn't see people going to the Bees games. I don't know. I'm a huge sports fan, obviously. There are other options there. I don't think a baseball stadium is really great for the Olympics, and I'm thinking of that sort of investment. But overall, big picture, that's just me being on my sports, you know, tangent.
Right.
But overall, big picture, I just hope that we really get the input on the residents from the west side of Salt Lake when we're going through
that's
this. I think, like, they're in a grocery store desert down there. There's a lot of needs they have. I hope that it's
school.
Yeah, I hope that there's not a bunch of luxury housing. I hope hopefully we have a lot of affordable housing, bring a lot of local companies in when we start doing all the economic, like all the pieces that are probably going to be placed below a lot of this housing. I hope that we bring in a lot of local companies and businesses. And then I also, you know, I'm grateful for where they've ended. And I actually trust the Millers over the Smiths. So I'm happy about that. But I hope that we are getting input from that west side. Like the person, the legislator, I cannot remember his name, who's over the U Fair, which is the board about this whole piece, is from Cache County.
Ryan
it's like,
Wilcox.
Let's keep it local. Let's get the local voices in there, local businesses, and make sure we also plan in a way that gives affordable housing and meets the needs of that community that is truly in a desert at this point.
But he's a baseball fan.
That's so cute.
Well, I mean, and I want to say something to Sarah's point here. The Millers have a track record of actually doing pretty good things for the state of Utah. Like, they do know how to do this, and they do know how to keep things local and do things that actually build up the community around them. That's one of the reasons why they were looking at the Power District as a place to put something, is because it's a weird desert generally between the airport and between Salt Lake City. And if you can put something there that brings value to the community, that bridges that gap a little bit and starts to fill that in, that could do a whole lot of good economically for everyone in that area. Sarah's point is very valid. The way that takes place is going to matter a lot, but I think there could be a lot of good benefits to this, and I'm happy that the Millers are the ones driving it.
Peter's Googling.
I don't know. I think it's Senator Sandel.
Is it Sandel?
Is that right?
Or
I don't
Ryan,
know.
Ryan Wilcox.
So it depends which part of the body that
it's
we're talking
the
U
Fair.
About. The Fair Park Investment and Restoration District is Benjamin Bies, who's not a lawmaker. We've interviewed him in the past about this. Wilcox, I do believe, sponsored the bill for this, but I'm still drilling
pretty
down
sure
to make sure that
cash.
I'm
think
getting
I read
the right
that
name
today. And
here.
I mean, I think overall it's great. We're building for the Olympics. There was tons of planning that we need to do. We need more housing. There is great needs on the west side of Salt Lake City to have a lot of different development changes. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that on Lower Ninth in Salt Lake City. It's like booming. The Post District, all that. I think there's tons of opportunity. And again, I really do trust the Millers. I think they do things right and they care deeply about Utah.
We don't have time for a ton of answer to this question. And it's a very large question for not having a ton of time. But like, is this an if you build it, they will come type of situation in the public safety, in the homelessness issue? I mean, is this just going to clean up the area by gentrification, or what is this going to do to the area?
I think yes to all of the above. And I think Daybreak is an example of that. The Millers also did Daybreak. There's a lot that has happened because of Daybreak. Whether or not that's affordable, I think, is another debate for another time. But yes, I do think that you start to see some of the grocery store deserts, maybe even schooling, all that stuff starts to fill in as it starts to fill in around it.
Yeah, and I think that they need to be, I think that all of our planning for our unsheltered folks and safety and crime needs to go hand in hand with kind of the way that we're developing this and planning for this.
I think we'll have to leave it there for our time today.
And just interjecting, it was Scott Sandel who sponsored.
Scott Sandel,
SB
good job.
Good job, so. Brain.
And I
good
cover the legislature and I didn't yeah. know that. Good job. Sarah Real, your local Democrat, and Aaron Ryder, the level-headed Republican. Appreciate you both being here and your insights today.
Thank you.
Such a good conversation. All right, make sure you watch Inside Utah Politics this Sunday on ABC4 at 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. We will be talking all things municipal elections because we've got a lot of cities in Utah who are electing new folks on Tuesday. Get your ballots in. Have to be in by 8 p.m. on Election Day. You can no longer postmark it before Election Day and have it count. And thank you for being here. We appreciate you watching. And
vote.
These
people impact your life more than anyone in D.C.
That is accurate. We will see you next time.